On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got tremendous pleasure from watching Dexter over the years. I don't know why you want to knock it.
Jeff Lutz.
I killed a guy in his sleep last night.
What is he, Bob Huggins? The only thing you offer this show,
I hated the voice,
is your 19 impersonations that sound the same.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz Show, the Bob and Jeff Show.
Where were you going with that?
Radio. Well, my dog distracted me. I felt like she needed me to pet her, and
maybe so.
Got a little distracted. Max Power back in the booth. What am I doing?
Are you okay?
I don't know if I'm okay. I got up at 3:30 this morning. He's in the booth.
He's in the studio.
Well, don't you call it a studio booth?
I do not.
What they used to call it.
Never heard that before.
But anyway, here we are on a Wednesday. We got a packed show coming up for you. You had some excitement at the baseball winter meetings last night as the Guardians went a little nuts.
Interesting couple of days for the Guardians. Couple trades. Franchise icon passes away. Tom Hamilton wins the Ford Frick Award. They canceled Guards Fest. Ridiculous.
Why'd they cancel Guards Fest?
Because they're a bunch of weenies.
I got really saw a lot about that. Why did that happen?
I don't know. There's no real answer. They said it was because of surveys they took with fans, and then every fan said no. Nobody said that we didn't want to meet our favorite players and go to Guards Fest. That was
strange.
That was never a thing. So it's cheap.
Well, at the end of the day, you lost Andrés Giménez. You lost a relief pitcher.
We didn't lose a relief.
Then you gained a very intriguing starting pitcher from the Pirates in Luis Ortiz, and then a couple of their pitching prospects, and an outfielder from Toronto. How do you feel about it all?
I'm okay with it.
As the dust settles.
I'm okay with it. I love Andrés Giménez.
I really loved getting Spencer Horwitz from
Toronto. I was happy with that,
Toronto.
But ultimately it's like, where was he going to play? You figured maybe a Josh Naylor trade would follow, but instead it was a Spencer Horwitz trade, and I woke up to that news that we'd acquired the pitcher from Pittsburgh. Feel decent about that. We're going to miss Andrés, but this is the life of a small market club.
He was due to make a lot of money, and Cleveland doesn't pay a lot of money. And he's probably the best.
It's not about paying a lot of money.
He's arguably the best defensive player in the game.
I don't think there's an arguably in front of it.
It leaves a hole at second base, but you have some guys that are coming up, including your number one draft pick. I guess it's okay. I get a little nervous anytime you have to trade a guy because he's making too much money.
It's about value. If he was an MVP candidate making that much money, they wouldn't have traded him. But his value has diminished. They don't feel like they want to pay $20 million for that level of value for a guy who has really struggled to hit. His postseason at-bats were terrible.
Boy, they were raving about him on the Hot Stove show earlier.
He's great defensively.
Harold Reynolds just can't get enough of him.
He's great defensively. But again, if you can get out from underneath that contract and maybe get some more thump at that position eventually.
That becomes the key. Are they going to get some more thump? What are they going to do with that money they save? Pocket it?
Probably.
Well, there you go. That should make you angry.
They re-signed Bieber. That's pretty good.
Shouldn't that make you angry?
I'm not angry. I understand how this franchise operates at this point. The years of being angry are over. They're going to do everything they can to remain competitive. This is just part of the process.
By the way, did you see the most recent inductees into the Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame?
No.
One of our guys is in.
Who's that?
We have a caller named Ralph. You ever heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ralph.
Well, is this the first year of that Hall of Fame? Because if not...
He just retired.
I understand that, but Bill Self isn't retired. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know if they put current people in that or not, but congratulations to Ralph. That's all.
Absolutely. Well-deserved honor.
If he wants to call the show and revel in this honor...
We haven't heard from Ralph in a while.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
You made reference to the loss of Rocky Colavito at the age of 91. You mentioned that he's a Cleveland icon, and I'd agree with you on that. He spent the bulk of his time in the big leagues with Cleveland, but he had four incredible years with your rival Detroit as well.
Rival?
You don't like Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that. Rocky, he's first and foremost a Cleveland Indian, and we claim him the most. He's our guy. We are the fan base that adopted him and loved him. He did play well with the Tigers, but he's a Cleveland guy first and foremost.
Is there anybody whose name associates more with being from the Bronx than Rocky Colavito?
And it's not even, it's Rocco, too. That's what, it's even more Bronx-ish.
And I forgot, I heard Ted's, a sports report before we went on the air. I had forgotten not only that he played a season with the Kansas City Athletics and had a very good year, 1964, but that he later coached with the Royals and was part of that George Brett pine tar dust up.
Yeah,
hide the bat.
He got ejected from that game.
You didn't know that till you heard Ted Woodward.
This morning.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Give Ted Woodward credit.
I'll give him credit, but I read that this morning.
And Why did you mention it?
And I did not hear Ted's report.
Would you have mentioned that?
Would I have mentioned what?
I'm all about giving credit to people.
Well, he can have his credit. But I did read that this morning. It was an interesting...
Would you have mentioned it
on the show today? I don't know. Would I have mentioned what? That he was ejected from the game?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Well, it should have been...
I did not know that before today.
Should have been something you would have mentioned on the show.
Oh, my bad.
Anyway, we're sorry to hear about the loss of Rocky Colavito, who always makes me think about my youth and how much I followed the game of baseball when I was a kid. And it's shameful that I had forgotten that he played a season with the Athletics. And in that season, 34 homers, 102 RBIs.
He'd be a Hall of Famer if he'd tacked on a couple good years to the end of his career.
He's in the Hall of Very Good.
That's what I'm saying.
He really came up short in some areas for the Hall of Fame.
But he would be if he had a couple more 35-homer-type seasons. He was basically done by, what, 30, 31? He wasn't very productive.
33. He had a 30-homer season at the age of 32, and then did very little the rest of his career.
There you have it. Good player. How many home runs did he end up with?
374.
If he gets to 430, you might be having a discussion.
Yeah, he didn't get, 1,730 hits, a career average, a career batting average of 266, a career OPS of 848, and an OPS plus of 132. So he was 32% better than the average player. Pretty impressive number.
Yeah, that's Hall of Fame territory, if only he had a longer career.
All right, on the show today, Mitch Fiegel, the boys basketball coach at Wichita Collegiate. They're off to a good start. He will join us at 2:25 to talk about collegiate basketball. At 2:40 or 2:45, Mike Furches, his weekly appearance to talk about pop culture, television, movies, music, whatever we decide to bring up. And then later in the show at 3:25 today, now former Wichita State volleyball player Morgan Stout, who just had an amazing senior year. If they named Do they name an All-American team in volleyball?
I would assume so.
Doesn't she have to be considered?
I can't answer that. I don't know enough about
her numbers.
She's got great numbers. But I just don't know enough about the rest of the sport to know how she stacks up.
I don't either, but she's got to stack up pretty well.
You would assume so.
And she's going on to the Volleyball Professional League. I got to find out about that. She was taken by Las Vegas.
Interesting. You just, like, get put in the draft in some of those sports, right? Like, did she even know she was in the draft?
I don't know. Well, I'm curious to find out. I'm curious to know if is she even going to pursue that. I would assume yes.
Probably, but who knows?
I don't know. That's why I'm going to ask.
Probably a lot of things she could pursue.
When I don't know something, I'm comfortable asking.
Is that right?
Are you?
Why wouldn't I be?
What don't you know that you'd love to know?
There's all sorts of stuff. I don't know. Usually if I don't know it, I seek it out. So I don't know that there's anything outstanding that I want to know about. But the second there is, I'll probably look into it.
So here we are 2 weeks from Christmas, right? You've got a birthday coming up.
Another
they
one.
Just keep flying by us.
Pretty much.
Your birthdays seem to happen regularly. Like every week or two, it seems
they do
like.
Happen a lot, it
Mine
seems
just
like.
Very rarely come along. Why is that? Seems like you have more birthdays than I do. Why am I older?
Because your birthday happens in basically the middle of nowhere on the calendar. What's March 4th? Nothing's happening on March 4th. It's still kind of the late winter, but not quite spring, and basketball's not quite to the tournament, and baseball's not quite at opening day yet, and it's just kind of hanging out there. December 21st.
I always appreciated March 4th.
It's a decent day. It's the only day that is a command.
Huh?
March 4th. It's a command.
Well, I'll tell you this about March 4th. Weather-wise, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
I've had some wonderful, beautiful days on March 4th, spring-like. And I've had some dreadful, just the worst of winter days.
You can pretty much say that about most days between, like, March and May. You just don't know what you're getting.
No, mostly March.
April, too. And it's still kind of cold in May sometimes.
April can be dicey, but March is all over the place.
Yeah, and it comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb.
But March to me signifies some beginning of baseball. We start outdoor practices in League 42, spring training's in full gear. If you don't feel warm, you can at least look at the television and watch a spring training game, and you'll feel warm right away.
You hope to.
Are the Cardinals going to trade Nolan Arenado today?
Today? I doubt it.
Why not? Why not? This is so frustrating.
Too much to work out. He's got to waive his. Well, now he's at least given the teams he'll waive the no trade clause for.
Yeah, we think he has. I don't trust that list.
But how do you?
Are you telling me that if
he didn't want to go to the Dodgers
game calling, he'd say no?
I guess.
There's no way.
I don't know.
And he wants to go to the Angels? Give me a break. He said he wants to win. The Angels aren't going to win.
That's the team I always looked out for with him. That might be the team he goes to.
Well, then he's lying out as you know what about wanting to be on a team that wins.
They've done quite a bit. I don't know if they've improved a whole lot, but they've improved around the edges a little bit.
They need to improve in the middle, right?
In the top.
The edges don't matter when you've been as bad as the Angels.
Probably.
It involves getting significantly better, and they haven't done that.
Not quite, but they've gotten some pieces.
Who?
I mean, who'd they get?
If you don't...
I don't know anything. I don't know what happened 5 minutes ago.
If they got a pitcher, but he's nothing...
Didn't they get Yusei Kikuchi?
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the pitcher they got. They're not. They haven't passed the Astros. They haven't passed, I don't think, the Mariners. And the Rangers have. They brought back Nathan Eovaldi and got Jake Berger.
They got Kevin Newman, Travis d'Arnaud, Kyle Hendricks, So they've improved. I don't think they're about to be World Series champs, but...
Well, that's what I mean. Why would Nolan Arenado list them as a team he would waive his no-trade clause?
You got Ryan Noda. They've added some pieces.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, the Boston Red Sox are trying to win it. They traded for Garrett Crochet just before we went on the air. That deal became official, and he immediately gives a boost to that rotation, obviously. And they're rumored to be right there for Corbin Burns. So if the Red Sox are able to have a Burns-Crochet top of the rotation, they're in the battle.
And we need to go get Brian Bello from them.
Who? Who's we?
Yards. What do you mean?
Anyway, that's where the Boston Red Sox are. And I applaud the trade from the Chicago White Sox perspective. They got the numbers 2, 4, and 6 prospects from a very bountiful Boston farm system, probably the best farm system in the game right now, built by my guy Heim Bloom before they canned him.
Partially.
Well, he drafted all these guys.
He didn't draft Montgomery, did
he? He thought about it.
I'm sure he did.
He recommended it. But anyway, that's exactly the kind of trade the White Sox had to make. When you have an asset like Garrett Crochet, you go to the team with the best minor league players, right?
Yeah, you want to maximize your return. Now we'll see
4, 6, and 8 they got.
I think that's right. Kyle Teal's number 4.
I think I said 2, 4, and 6.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were looking at a different list, so I didn't.
So the Red Sox protected their top 3, but gave up 3 top 8 prospects to get the most valuable trade chip, I would say, of the winter.
More than Spencer Horowitz?
Yeah, I don't, you know, he's okay. I don't know why people are doing Here's the thing about the winter meetings and any deal made. Everybody wants to look at it like, oh, we made a great deal there.
No, Pirates fans were not happy, and neither were Blue Jays fans. So, I don't know.
The Pirates want more. I mean, they want more thump.
He can hit, but he can't hit left-handers.
Well, he doesn't hit much power.
Against righties, he does. But not much against lefties. So, we'll see.
He had 10 home runs last year.
12.
I know it was in a limited amount of at-bats, but I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see in 4 months.
I'm glad the Pirates dealt from their strength, pitching.
Yeah. We're all trying to just get better, you know?
The Pirates still have a lot of pitching, and it worries me. They got a lot in the big leagues already with Skeens and Jones and others, and they got a lot coming. Well, right now, here's where
the long-term perspective.
The Cardinals, by the way, in the lottery, the draft lottery yesterday, moved from 13th to 5th.
How anxious were you?
Well, I knew we weren't going to get number 1.
Did you? Once you got up to the top 5?
Yeah, you hope, but you know that, man, the odds are really stacked against you. But once it became obvious they were going to get into the top 6, then you hope.
You'd have loved to have Ethan
Holliday.
Had
the fifth pick in the draft since they picked J.D. Drew back in the day.
It's weird. The mock draft by MLB.com had that Arizona outfielder going to the Cardinals at 5 or whatever, and the mock draft by Baseball America had that outfielder going to the Guardians at 26 or whatever they're picking.
Well, you got different viewpoints. It'll clear up once the college and high school seasons
begin.
Let's
just say I want that guy now, just to keep him away from you. No offense.
Well, I don't care if you get him or not. I just want a good player at number 5.
Of course you do, and I'm sure you'll get one.
You better get
one. It's hard to miss in the top 5.
It's hard to miss, but it's not hard to...
not get a superstar.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You never know.
And how about the Holiday family? I'll take credit for Matt Holiday. I think when you think of Matt Holiday, you think of the Cardinals.
Rockies, but maybe.
No.
He had his best years with the Rockies, didn't he?
No, he had his best years with the Cardinals.
I don't know about that.
Well, trust me on it.
He got to the World Series with the...
He won a World Series with
Rockies,
the Rockies,
and nobody gets to the World Series with the Rockies.
Well, they look at all the players they had at the time.
They had a few. He played for the Cardinals a lot longer than
I
thought.
But to have two number one picks in the Major League Baseball draft as children, what are your thoughts on that?
Insane.
By the way, with the Cardinals, yeah, he had great years in Colorado. A 936 OPS, but he had actually an OPS plus higher. Same. Right?
Great player.
Same OPS plus. Pretty much. Yeah.
He was on the Hall of Fame ballot last year and got no support.
Had actually a higher OPS plus with the Cardinals. But to have Jackson and Ethan growing up in little old Stillwater, Oklahoma.
And now playing right next to each other.
You know, Stillwater is not far from here. You're aware of that.
Yeah.
When I covered games and was on the road a lot, I used to love going to Stillwater to cover football or basketball. Two reasons. Close. Right down there, you stop at the Love's on I-35 there. Get a little whatever you need, and you're in Stillwater in no time. And the second reason, great parking.
Good. And the Holiday family is synonymous with Oklahoma State baseball.
Can I keep talking about that?
If you want. I think we got a break.
We do need to break. We're coming back in a moment with Mitch Fiegel, the boys' basketball coach at Collegiate. He'll join us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. The breakfast partner of Xbox IHOP. We'll be back.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
.975 and 1240.
Mitch Fiegel with us, boys basketball coach at Wichita Collegiate. They're off to a very good start. High expectations as usual. Mitch, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good today, fellas. I mean, good as I can be for walking in the house last night about 1:15.
What the heck? Why so late?
Well, we were at Independence last night, and it's a jaunt.
Oh, that's right. It is a little ways down there. You won the game. You've got an interesting ball club with three juniors who are kind of the backbone. You've got some seniors as well. A fairly experienced team coming off a 17-6 season. What do you think of the club so far?
Well, you know, last night we had some moments of just brilliance, and then we had some moments where we looked like, you know, a little more practice wouldn't be a bad thing for us.
Yeah, so what does that mean for the overall picture? You want to obviously probably end the calendar year strongly. Do you feel like you're set up to do that, in position to do that?
You know, I think we're, you know, again, if we stay healthy, I think we're going to be in a position to make a deep run. We've been very coachable. We're doing a lot of things, you know, in the film room, in a pre-practice setting, at a much higher level than we've done for the last couple years. And you can just tell that, you know, overall, we're an older and more mature group. And that sure feels good.
Mitch Fiegel, our guest, Wichita Collegiate boys coach. Way, way back, Mitch, I'm gonna tell a little story. Early on in League 42's history, I got to sit in the Buck O'Neill seat up at Kauffman Stadium. Somebody nominated me, and I was very honored to get to do that. I went up there with my wife and three of our very young League 42 players at the time. I think a couple of them were in T-ball, and another one was in coach pitch. And one of those players was Jaden Parker. He was a little guy at the time. He's not a little guy anymore, and he's one of your guys as a junior on your basketball team. What an athlete, huh?
Yeah, you know, Jaden has had to overcome a lot in the last year. You know, last year he had to set the entire season. He had to have eventually both feet pinned. He broke both feet, and you know, so that we had to get over that. So he spent the entire summer rehabbing, and you know, he's just now getting to the point where he's a little more comfortable on the floor. And I think with him, because of that layoff, I don't really think that you're going to see how good he is until we get like deep into January and he really starts to get back into basketball shape. But he's got a great feel for the game. And, you know, last night he was really good. I'm going to look here real quick, but he put up some really good numbers for a guy that didn't play all last year. And you know, so you're talking about 21 points. He was our leading scorer, and then throw in 9 rebounds with that, and that's a pretty good first night out coming back.
So you're one of the handful of teams, a very small number in 3A, to be using a shot clock, and that applies for home games, and I assume most, if not all, of your road games will not have that. So was that the case last night? I'm not sure if Independence is on that list, but how will that change the way you coach from game to game? I assume you'll want to play offensively like there's a shot clock, but otherwise probably not.
You know, because we're in the AVCTL and our league adopted that the shot clock, and our three non-league opponents, you know, in this tournament all have the shot clock. We're not going to be without the shot clock until we get to postseason play, believe it or not. And, okay. You know, last night was clearly a testament to how the shot clock is going to affect the game. We were really, really good early on last night. And then we ended up the game with 28 fouls, and the game turned into a game with no flow. And, you know, we looked up with about minute 14, and we're down 3. And, you know, I think in a normal game setting, a lot of 3A teams, a lot of any teams back in the day would have just said, you know what, we're going to pull that thing out. We're going to make you foul us, and we're going to hang on to it as long as we can. But with the shot clock, you know, last night, we just had to sit down, really have a couple good defensive possessions, and get the ball back. So, you know, it's all of our first time with it. And I thought last night was a really good teaching point in terms of how it is going to affect late-game situations.
Mitch Fiegel with us from Wichita Collegiate. Yeah, you just said we're going to have the shot clock with us for every game until the postseason. You do realize the absurdity of that, correct?
I do, yes. Yes, I do. you know,
it's crazy.
So, I mean, what was your choice? I mean, you had two choices, either not do it or add it. And I think, you know, our league, we decided that, hey, let's be ahead of the curve. Let's figure out how to work this thing in advance, and if it does become reality next year the entire way through, or even the next year, at least our kids are used to playing with it. And, you know, I like to think that I've got at least a couple guys on my team that are going to play college basketball at some level, and at least it gets them used to how that works as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball now and has been for many years. You play basketball with a shot clock. That's just part of the game. Mitch Fiegel with us. Tell us about another of your juniors and your leading scorer from last year, Sebastian Hines-Turner. What kind of a season are you expecting from him?
Well, Sebastian can just do so many things. I mean, he's so versatile. And, you know, last night he was clearly somewhat limited. And I say limited, but, you know, he still got 14 points and five rebounds and two assists. And that's basically, I don't know, I'd say he probably played about 3 minutes in the first half before he got his second foul and he was out. And then he fouled out late. So his minutes last night were not very many, but it was also a good teaching point for him is that, hey, it's one thing to be physical. It's another thing to reach. And it's also another thing, you know, every night out's a different experience in terms of how the game's going to be officiated. And you have to be able to make those mental adjustments by halftime. And if you don't, you know what, you end up setting at the end of the game. But, you know, Sebastian has clearly got a great upside to him. So I'm sure glad he's on my team and not somebody else's.
Yeah, so going back to the shot clock, sort of, I guess you've been at collegiate for a while. Do you remember many on-court rule changes that really kind of affected the flow of the game? Or is there something maybe that wasn't a rule that kind of forced you to change your coaching style? This seems... You know, like for long-time coaches, this might be either not an adjustment at all because you've been coaching so long or an adjustment because there's rarely rule changes like this.
Well, and I think it also depends on what your chosen style of play is. You know, are you going to be methodical offensively or are you going to push the basketball and really attack and try to get the first good shot you can get? Or are you going to grind it out and... You know, clearly you can be a combination of both of those, but, you know, let's just put it this way. Last night in the boys' game, we didn't have any situation. I think we had one time where it got down to like 11. And the rest of the time, it was not a factor for us last night. But, again, we're only one game into it, and I would think, you know, because it is clearly a new rule, there are going to be little things that are going to come up all year that you're going to have to get creative with and then also put them in your long-term memory because they're going to pop up again.
Who in your, Mitch Fiegel, our guest, who in your league do you expect to contend with and fight with and have battles with?
Well, Wellington's got a really nice group of athletes down there right now. And of course, Andale just, you know, won the football state championship again. So you never want to gauge Andale until you get past Christmas break because those guys have been playing football. And, you know, they might not always be just pure basketball guys, but they're athletic, and you know that when they come, they're going to come to compete. So I would say those would be the top group, top teams for us this year in our division.
And I got to ask you before we leave, how many years now as head boys coach at Collegiate?
This is 36.
Man, you mean to tell me I was in my early 30s when you started there? My God.
Yeah,
that makes me happy.
So was I, man. Yeah, you know, I
Well.
Yeah, it's been a while, buddy.
Well, you've had a great run. It looks like it's going to continue this year. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll visit soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Mitch Fiegel from Wichita Collegiate. I had no idea. I knew it was a long time, but 36 years?
Yeah, but that's only 1989, right? That doesn't seem like that long ago.
You know, I was a young man when he started.
Sort of.
I was in my early 30s.
34.
33.
88, 89 season.
Yeah, 33.
Something like that, whatever.
I was 33 when he started.
Well, good. Maybe you can mark your time by Mitch Fiegel's life.
I'll forget how many years
he's doing.
I'll forget how many years it is.
How old were you when he graduated high school?
I don't remember. I don't know when he graduated.
I don't either.
But he's no spring chicken.
He's still got a lot of energy and still coaches hard. And
I've got a lot of energy.
Do you?
Well, you tell me. Do I?
Do you? I'm asking.
Of course I do. I have to.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that
question. I'm forced to have a lot of energy at times. Other times I have none.
Trying to find out how old Mitch is, but not quite there yet.
Well, we don't want to divulge that. He may not want that known.
He may not, but if you can find it, I'm not going to be able to.
Good. Let's save him that. Here's Mike Furches joining us to talk pop culture as we near Christmas. Mike's been in the throes of Christmas. We won't indicate in what way. We don't want to give it away, but he's been around Christmas now for a while. How's it going, Mike?
Man, it's Christmas is back. That's what I'll say. It's doing good.
Well, did it ever really leave us?
Well, there was a time that what I know now is that there's more kids, there's more parents out than what we've seen in the last few years. And, you know, I can say that in an enthusiastic and a good way. You know, I've seen kids all across the country, Bob, and I'm going to give it up for Wichita. And I'm telling the absolute truth. Parents in Wichita have done such a fantastic job raising children. Wichita is a good town. You got people like League 42 and, you know, genuinely care about other children. And it's just it's a beautiful thing to see. So it can be hectic and busy, but it is beautiful.
Well, that's good to hear. We've got the finale, the series finale of Yellowstone coming up Sunday night. I'm of the opinion that Kevin Costner messed that show up big time. It's still good. It's still, I'm certainly watching it and enthralled by it to some degree. But I hope somebody writes about how his dropping out of this series, the effect it really had, because you had to kind of retell the whole story, and I'd give him about a C+. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. I think it's still better than most shows on television, but I would sure like to have seen what it was supposed to be, because we know without a doubt that what we're seeing in the series finale or the final season is not as it was originally written or thought out. So still good. But I think that C+ rating, to me, is being generous. That's what I would say about that.
I have a recommendation for you, and I recommended it to my own father last night. We watched the Jamie Foxx special on Netflix, where he delves into his health issues. And I feel like anyone who has experienced a major health issue or has had a loved one do so will get something out of it. So, Mike, I think you should watch that if you already haven't.
Well, Jeff, I'm a step ahead of you. I've already seen it.
I love it. What do you think?
I think it made me admire Jamie Foxx even more. I always liked Jamie Foxx, thought he was great. But there's something about the special that it kind of opens the doors and opens your eyes about Jamie Foxx. And I respect him even more after watching it. And it's a really good show, and I totally agree. It deals into some areas that we, you know, that are appropriate and applicable for many people, not just him.
Talking pop culture with Mike Furches. I told you last week that I'd get to a movie. Guess what? I didn't.
Uh-oh.
I feel like I've betrayed everyone's trust. It'll happen sometime. It will happen most likely spontaneously, but it hasn't happened yet. And I know that the big three out there are Moana 2, Wicked, and Gladiator 2. What else has caught your attention?
Well, those are the three big ones. I'm embarrassed to say. I was so tired the other night, I went right after I got off of work in the Santa suit and sit down in the chair to see Moana and fell asleep. At the start of the news, I have to go back and watch it. That was bad. There's some good stuff coming out. I think quite a few things at the end of the season, right before nomination season and the first of the year. The one I'm looking forward to is the new Werewolf movie, and I'm good for a good scary movie. Yeah, but I still
I hear you, but boy, I know.
And Gladiator 2 has been panned by the critics as well. But everyone that I've spoken to that has
seen it. You judge these movies for yourself. And yeah. I admire that about you. I probably give too much credence to the critics.
Yeah. And sometimes the critics are right. But Gladiator got panned, and I really enjoyed that movie, and everyone I've spoken to have enjoyed it as well. So that, you know, that kind of says something. But Werewolf's one that's coming out. There's some good television things that are coming out as well that I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, thankfully we've got some good things happening. And we've got things like Matlock that are still on. We've got Landman, which is being really good so far, and other things as well to see and entertain ourselves. And I always look forward to even the first of the year with the music awards that are coming out and some of the new music that's coming out.
Now, here's a movie I'm going to mention that is getting great reviews. And Jude Law is getting all kinds of recognition. It's a movie called The Order. It's about solving some bank robberies. It feels like that's right up my alley. I like movies like that. That's one that I am curious to see. Have you heard anything about it?
Well, about Jude Law, he is so good. And I mean, he's one of those actors that everything he is in seems to be terrific as far as the quality and entertainment value, but he never comes up in the discussions of great actors. So Jude Law, for me, is one of those actors that I see anything that he's in just because he is so good. But I have heard a few things about that, and it is getting great reviews so far.
What did you think before you fell asleep of Moana 2? Speaking of reviews and being panned, it sounds like the songs weren't as good. Maybe the story wasn't as good. Is that why you fell asleep?
No, I was just so tired that I sit in the chair. And, Jeff, this is embarrassing to say, but I'm just going to be honest as I can be. I fell asleep within 10 minutes of the movie starting. And
wow.
You know, I took my wife. She enjoyed it, and I'm glad. But she had to wake me up at the end of the movie when the credits were rolling at the end. If anyone here has ever done that, you know, they know what I'm talking about. It's embarrassing.
And I fell asleep at Harry Potter when my wife took me. It was like,
that's just terrible.
One of our very first dates. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. She was.
I would have dumped him.
And I fell asleep.
Come on, Bob. There's got to be a movie you never went to sleep, but then again, you have to go to movies to fall asleep.
Exactly.
Mike Furch is with us. The Man on the Inside. Have we talked with you about that? I feel like we did.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I know we've talked with you about Kathy Bates and Matlock. My wife and I just can't wait for the weekly FBI shows. Are you into those? Do you think those are good?
Yes, I really enjoy the FBI shows because of the realm, all the things they could do. Things like Criminal Minds in the past, I've enjoyed those kind of shows as well. And the FBI series sort of falls into that, a little bit different, but kind of the same thing. And the other big one that is concluding that has been around forever is the Tom, daggone it, it's the Blue Blood series. Yeah, Blue Blood, Tom Selleck.
Yes.
The Blue Bloods are ending. This is they're in their last season now, and it's going to be interesting to see how they end that series because for many, Blue Bloods has been a weekly routine, and to think that it won't be around anymore is kind of sad. And the reason it's getting dumped is it's even sadder in some extent to me. It's not getting dumped because it's a bad show or really bad ratings or reviews. It's getting them just because they're tired of it and want to bring something new out.
Huh.
Mike, I have a trivia question for you, and it's a question I wouldn't know the answer to, so don't feel bad. I like to see what people know. Today, in 1972, the last two people who ever walked on the moon walked on the moon. Outside of Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, can you tell me anyone else who walked on the moon?
Why are you putting Mike in that spot?
I want to, as I said,
I'd have to.
I like to see what people know. I wouldn't have gotten any. I don't know anyone who would. But what if Mike has this knowledge that
I think I know one.
Okay, what if Mike? Do you have any?
I'd have to look at it and think about it. But, you know, there is the great debate. Did we really walk on the moon? Because that is, it is amazing that that is even a debate, but it's a debate. I think they did, but who they were specifically.
Yeah, well, they did.
Yeah, I think they did as well. But it is amazing that the people that think they didn't, but I think they did.
It's amazing a lot of people think what they think. Gene Cernan.
He was.
I got the first name wrong.
He was part of a. Alan Shepard would be the one that maybe a lot of people would know, but he was more famous for like traveling.
He was the first person to go into orbit.
Yeah, something like that. He was the first American to travel.
Gene Cernan's
space.
Correct, right?
Yeah, he was number 11 out of 12.
And that's all I need to know.
That's good. Good job.
Well, Jeff, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Mike, I want to ask you.
Next time we discuss earthly events, next time we discuss worldly events as opposed to pop culture, let me know and I'll do a little bit of research on it.
I'll do that.
Yeah, that was typical Jeff right there.
I just wanted to see.
Right.
Why can't I ask people questions?
Exactly.
That's what we do on the show every week.
Right.
We play games. We ask questions. We
Mike,
figure
I wanted
it out.
To ask you about Saturday Night Live. Their 50th anniversary special is coming up in February, and they're going to roll it out. It's going to be fantastic, I think. The show in its current state, I watch it every week. I don't watch it live. I record it and watch it on Sundays, and it's hit and miss. But really, Saturday Night Live has always been kind of hit and miss. Where are you with this current cast of Saturday Night Live?
I think the current cast, I agree, it's hit and miss. I do believe it's hit and miss this season more than in the past. But with the cast, there's a lot of potential in the cast. I don't think we'll ever see the potential and the possibility in the cast that we saw back in the days. But for right now, we're showing potential. And they're getting laughs, which is good. And I'm enjoying it as well, but it is hit and miss. There's some weeks that I just hate it, and there's other weeks that I think, you know, they're back for sure. And it's just the way it is. It's amazing that show has been around and impacted pop culture as much as it has over the years, maybe more than any show ever on television.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing, and Chris Rock is their next host, so I'm all in on
that.
And then
Martin Short on my birthday.
Well, Martin Short, does it get any better?
No, sir.
Only if he could have Steve Martin. Steve Martin will make an appearance.
Of course.
But to think that they
Mike,
were
we
Rangers.
Always appreciate it. Anything you want to add before we bid you adieu?
No, just we get stressed out in this season. And look at the kids. And, let's make it about people in need. And in finding time to enjoy time with families, whether that's going to a movie or sitting at home and watching that 140-inch television like you have, Bob.
Good stuff. Well, of course, we love our big TVs here.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys, look forward to it. Bye.
Mike Furches, Talking Pop Culture. We'll take a break. We've got Morgan Stout, formerly now of Wichita State Volleyball, will join us at 3:25. I was listening to Chris Lamb's radio show. They were talking about the Mount Rushmore Shocker volleyball players and talking about Morgan Stout being a candidate for that.
Who else did he say, do you know?
I can't remember. Sarah Eunice. Don't put me on the spot.
Well, I agree with that selection.
We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.